Acts chapter 8, please. And we'll start to read at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before her shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. You know, the Lord will bless that reading of his own inspired and divine word. Let us just bow in a word of prayer. Again, eternal Father, we thank you for this day, a glorious day, a beautiful day, but a day, Father, when these candidates have come and professed their faith and their trust in your Son. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that he died for us and he shed his blood that we might be forgiven and saved. And we pray tonight, Lord, for this congregation, so many in this tabernacle on such a beautiful evening, maybe come to see a loved one being baptized or out of interest of some other thing. We pray for them tonight, Lord. Lord, even for this next few moments when we would, Lord, break forth this bread of life, your word to each and every one of us, we pray that thy word would find a lodging place in the heart of every person. Lord, that your word would, Lord, bear fruit, and Lord, that people would be saved tonight who do not yet know your Son, who do not yet know him as their own Lord and personal Savior. We pray tonight, Lord, that you, Lord, would restore maybe someone away from you, someone backslidden in heart. We pray you'd strengthen your church and edify them, build them up upon their most holy faith. And we pray, Father, that you would be glorified in all things. Bless these candidates tonight. Encourage them. And Father, we thank you for each and every one who have, Lord, stood up and stood forth, Lord, to declare Christ as Lord before you and this congregation. So bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. In verse 27 of our reading, there's an Ethiopian eunuch had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And in verse 28, it tells us he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah, or that is Isaiah, the prophet from the Old Testament in the Bible. And this man is sitting reading Isaiah. And there as he's reading, it says he's actually reading it out loud. Can you imagine that? The man is in a desert, and yet in a chariot as it going along, and he reads the prophet out loud. In verse 30, Philip heard him read, from Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him, understandest what thou readest? Do you understand what the Bible says? Do you understand what you're reading to the Ethiopian eunuch? And the strange thing is, there are people who think they know what the Bible is saying. They think they know the way of salvation. They think they know what it is saying to them, but it's completely wrong. They think that it's Christ plus something else. Or I'm all right the way I am because I've read God is love. And those three words are true. God is love. But love is not all that God is. And hence people rest themselves even for eternity just on three words and live their life the way they want to. Away from Christ. Without God, without hope, without Christ in the world. And many are launched out into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, not knowing him as their own Lord and personal Savior. Now this Ethiopian eunuch was a religious man. He was at Jerusalem, it said, to worship. Think about this. He was a man who went to Jerusalem to worship. Irenaeus, the early church father, says that this man may have been an Israelite living in Ethiopia who came to worship. Or he was a Jew who had been converted to Judaism in Ethiopia who had come. And we don't really know that much more about this man except that he was at Jerusalem to worship. And when the Ethiopian eunuch answers in verse 31, he says, how can I accept some man should guide me? You see, people need guidance from those who have gone on before them. And Philip had come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And now this religious man, this Ethiopian eunuch, reading Isaiah the prophet from the Old Testament, he's religious coming back from Jerusalem after worshiping. He still doesn't understand what he's reading. And he says, how can I even know who this is unless someone guides me? Unless someone tells me. And he desired Philip that he should come up, it says, and sit with him. Now here's something I want you to take note of. In our opening verse, in verse 26, it says these words. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And then in verse 29, it says these words. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So the angel of the Lord, in some way, God sent an angel and said, Philip, you're going into the desert. Can you imagine telling an evangelist, you're going where no one else is to preach the word? Doesn't make sense. We want to go to the city centers. We want to go to the places, the marketplaces, the places where there's plenty of people about. But Philip was told, you're going to the desert. And he couldn't understand exactly why he was going. But in verse 29, it says, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now, here's what you need to see. An angel may give direction to the journey. But it is the Holy Spirit himself who must be the agent and the influencer in the salvation of a soul. It must be the Holy Spirit who is the agent and the influencer in the salvation of a soul. When you and I got saved, if you know the Lord Jesus, it wasn't off yourself. It was off the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. He came into our lives and regenerated us. We seen our need of Christ. And we called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. The angel said, go. But the Spirit said, be joined. But the Spirit said, be joined. So a man may be here tonight or a woman and you don't know the Lord, and the Spirit would say, be joined in Christ. Be saved tonight. Give yourself over to the leading of the Lord, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You see, God was already creating a work in the Ethiopian eunuch's heart. And that Ethiopian eunuch was reading the word out loud. He's searching, but he doesn't know why he's looking. He's reading, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. Until the Holy Spirit of God comes and he leads Philip to show him. And if you're not sure tonight, we're here tonight to show you the scriptures, to lead you in the ways of the Lord that you might be saved. John chapter 6 and verse 44 says these words. The Lord Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." Listen to verse 65. "No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Maybe someone here, and I've heard it throughout my ministry, throughout the years of being saved, of people saying, "You know what? I'll get saved before I die. Not just yet, I'll get saved before I die. On maybe my deathbed, I'll say, 'Jesus, forgive me.'" Sure, doesn't he just have to forgive you? But you see, friend, it's not a matter of you just sitting in a seat and saying, "Jesus, forgive me." It's a work of God in the heart. It's a work of God in the life. It's a work of God speaking to you, causing the interest, even the very interest that you might call upon him. God works and he shows you your need, and he shows you the Christ of your need, the one who died for your need. And you might say, I'll get saved when I'm older." You're not promised tomorrow. Not all of us may get a chance even to call upon the name of the Lord. But it's not just a matter of saying, "Okay, Jesus, save me now." It's a matter of God, the Holy Ghost, doing a work in the heart. Listen to what Isaiah says in chapter 55 and verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Notice the whiles. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." For there may be a time when the Spirit of God will not strive with a man and a woman. And hence, if you are aware this evening that these are candidates, "I just came to see a friend or a family member coming and getting baptized, and I'm glad for them." Maybe you thought that's all you were here for, but God has you here in his plan and purpose. Notice this, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 15. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 7, they all say these words, "Today, if you'd hear his voice, harden not your heart." And you could hear something tonight that God would wing to your heart, wing into your spirit, and cause you the interest even, cause you the stirring that you realize, he's right, that Bible is true, and I'm not saved. But you could leave here, and as quickly your heart could be hardened. You can harden it yourself, even as Pharaoh hardened it. Pharaoh hardened his heart when Israel were to be let go from Egypt. And he kept hardening his heart. And then it says, you ready? And then it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And that's a very serious issue. God said enough. And hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, it's not in my coaxing. We persuade men, yes. But it's not in our coaxing. It must be of God. This Ethiopian eunuch was in his chariot toward the south in the desert going across Gaza. And of course, he doesn't know not only who the prophet is speaking of, but he doesn't know he's going to meet another man called Philip who was going to evangelize the scriptures to his heart. Philip wasn't told an exact location, but he wasn't told a geographical exact area. He was told, "Go by the way of Gaza into the desert. Just go." And God does these things where we don't exactly know everything there and then, but we must trust what God said by faith, resting and leaning completely and only and solely and totally in what he has told us. God says to Philip, "Go into the desert. But Lord, I'm an evangelist. I want to go where the people are. Go to the desert. You know, in Genesis 12 and 1, O Father Abraham, when he was, Abram was told this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Imagine Abram saying, but Lord, where am I going? How far do I go? The Lord says, just go as I have said. And he would make him a father of many nations. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 8, it says of Abraham, he went out not knowing whither he went. He hadn't a clue where he was going. For what reason? But he went. And so Philip is told by the angel of the Lord, go. Go. You know, sometimes the response has to be immediate. God says, you're not saved. You're not right. It's time now. It's time tonight. Get yourself right now. Get yourself saved now. Come and believe in my son. Come and trust in him now. Maybe you've put it off. You've tried to run from him. Run from it. Run from the things of God. Maybe tonight, the Lord would say, tonight is the night of salvation for you. Today is the day of accepting Christ. So submit yourself if God speaks to you tonight. Because Ethiopian eunuch was traveling, and by the time Philip would get there, notice he keeps traveling, going right through the desert. Philip, you go into the desert. And the Lord knew all about it. He knew the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling. Philip knew nothing about it. The Ethiopian eunuch knew nothing about it. And God knew the two of them were going to pinpoint and meet up. This shows us in faith we must trust the Lord when we don't see or understand it all. It shows us that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. That God is omnipotent. That he is all powerful. He's omniscient. That he is all knowing of all things. And it shows us that this meeting in the Gazan desert was not by chance. It was not by accident. This wasn't a coincidence, but it was a God incident. In other words, it was a divine appointment for the Ethiopian eunuch reading out Isaiah the prophet out loud in the desert. And I wondered, I read this again this afternoon and thought, why would someone want to read out loud by himself in a desert? Why would he do that? Was he rehearsing it? And he knew that, well, if he made a mistake, not too many people were there to say, ah, you've made the mistake. Well, why was he doing that? And yet, he done it. See, God was stirring his heart. God was preparing his heart. And there Philip goes out not knowing how far I'm getting into the desert. And what did he hear? The Ethiopian eunuch greeting Isaiah the prophet. Is that a coincidence, do you think? Maybe you're here and say, well, God, why am I on this tent roof? Why am I here this evening? Is it for a baptismal service? Well, yes, but God brought you and it's not an accident, but a divine appointment that you might hear his word being read out in your ears. Notice this. So all this was planned and purposed and placed together by the Lord. And he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, and in particular because we're told of what he reads. And he reads Isaiah chapter 53. Let me just look it up for you. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me. Isaiah 53. And listen to what he says. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This Ethiopian eunuch is looking at this and saying, who is this man that no one desires him? Who is this man that no one sees any beauty in him as such? And who is looking at this man when we don't even understand who he is? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, is saying, who is he? I can't understand who he's speaking of here. But in particular, we are told, he's reading verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And Isaiah is saying, who is this man? This is 750 years or so before Jesus is even born in Bethlehem. Hundreds of years before. And now he has died in Calvary. He's went to the grave. He's resurrected. He's ascended into heaven. And here this Ethiopian eunuch is saying, who is this man? I can't understand it except someone guide me or show me. Will you tell me who he is, please? This man is the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is the Son of God. Notice this. He had been in the holy city of Jerusalem. So the Ethiopian eunuch was a religious man. He's maybe been for one of the three main feasts there, whether it's Passover or Pentecost or Sukkot, the tabernacles. He's maybe been in one of those three main feasts. I believe it was Passover. Simply he's reading Isaiah 53. Isaiah the prophet is known as the fifth evangelist because it's as though the Spirit of God hundreds of years before has taken him and placed him under Calvary's cross. And there he's seen the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, bleeding and dying for us. And as he sees it, Isaiah, through the Spirit of prophecy, he writes, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord, the Father, hath laid on him, the Son, the iniquity of us all. Every filthy, guilty stain of sin was laid on him, that we might be saved. Now here's the thing. This man was religious. I'm closing in a couple of minutes. This man was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. In fact, a eunuch in Deuteronomy 23, a eunuch cannot go into the congregation of the Lord. Yet he went because he was going to worship. He would be set outside and not allowed in among the Israelites. Whether he was an Israelite or not, whether he was a Judaizer or not, he was a eunuch. He was set apart. He was set outside. And here he comes with a heart that's been worshiping, reading Isaiah the prophet. Take note of this. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And he couldn't find salvation in the Jewish temple. And he couldn't find rest for his soul and peace for his mind. He couldn't find it. But I've already been there. I've done the pilgrimage from Ethiopia there. This man was reading of the slain Lamb of God. This man was reading of the suffering servant of Jehovah. This man was reading of the substitutionary sacrifice of a lamb in the place of the sinner, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was reading off the smitten one of God. This man was reading off the sin-bearing son of the Father, and he couldn't recognize him even in the scriptures. And this man was reading off the sorrows and the stripes and the slaughter of the sinless, spotless Son of God. This man was reading about Calvary before Calvary even happened. Before Calvary even took place. And so this man puts his trust in Christ. In Acts 8 and verse 34, the Ethiopian eunuch asks, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He opened Isaiah 53 at the same part and he said, let me show you Jesus. This is Jesus in this chapter. This is Jesus in this scripture. This is Jesus who's hanging and bleeding and dying and bearing away our sin and shame. It's all about Jesus. Can I ask you, friend, tonight? And if you're not saved, in other words, you have never put your trust in Christ for your salvation, can I ask you something? God forbid something happened this evening to you and you were launched out into eternity. God forbid, but the Lord knows the day and hour, we don't. But just say something happened to you and you were launched out into eternity. Where would you be? Where would you spend eternity? Would you be with Christ, which is far better? Or would he say, depart from me, I never knew you, and end up in a devil's hell? Even the religious will be lost, because salvation is found in the person of Christ alone. But say tonight, and God forbid, that you passed out into eternity and you stand before the Lord on that day. And if God was to ask you, why should you get into heaven? What would you say? What would you hold out to God that you feel and think that you could to enable you to get into heaven? Good works. I went to church. I went to Christ Encounters Tabernacle every Sunday. Or I went and done whatever. Is that what you would hold out? You know what he would say? It's like filthy rags before me. But they're all good works, Lord. And I was really, really sincere, Lord. And I always went to church and tried my best, Lord. It's like filthy rags. You know what he'll do? As it were, he will take Isaiah 53 and he would present it like he did through Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he'll show you Jesus and the work that he done on the cross that you might be saved. But that work which you have rejected by saying no to Christ. Are you saved tonight? I close with this. Thank you for your attention tonight. The Holy Spirit from the mouth of Philip and through the word of God brought the eunuch to the cross and showed the Lord Jesus. Here's the sacrifice and the lamb. And the Holy Spirit joined Philip to the chariot, but he joined the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. So here's what the Ethiopian eunuch says. Here's water. Notice. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37. Philip said unto him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, so there was water. Listen, they're in a desert. They're actually in a desert. Where'd the water come from? And it wasn't just a little sprinkle that many of us have had when we were a baby and we called it christening. This was a believer's baptism. They're in a desert. Where did the water come from? Well, don't you know that God just had a pool of water ready for them? Don't you know that they had to walk? It says they both went down into the water. In other words, they were right deep in the water. And when they were baptized, they came back up out. So it wasn't that he just got a wee handful and says, there you are, over your head. They both walked down and into the water. Imagine that water in the middle of the desert. Imagine that in the middle of a desert. Sometimes people wonder, prove yourself, Lord, and show me that you're real. All you have to do is look at the scripture and see what's happened and trust God for your life. And he'll show himself to you that he's more real than the person who's sitting beside you. Are you saved tonight? Are you Christ tonight? We're here tonight to speak with you, to help you if you're not, to point you to the Savior. And today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't walk out the doors tonight. God's speaking, you're going, yeah, I know I'm not saved. Do you know from our last baptism service, if I could count how many people either or had said to me, God had spoke to me and I went home. God spoke to me. Some even said, God spoke to me to get into the tank that night. But I went home. See, if you're not saved tonight, you can be saved tonight. Here's water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? And if you are saved and you're not baptized tonight, you're not baptized yet. Here's water. What doth hinder you to be baptized tonight? I didn't bring any clothes. Well, see, we always have spare ones for you to get changed into. No excuses, Christian. Will the candidates stand up for a moment, please? See, all these people, they're all professing their salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. When they go under the waters, this water is a watery grave. It represents they die. And when they're brought up out of the water, rising in newness of life. And when they go under the water and come up again in front of God, but also in front of all of you, they're saying, they're following the Lord Jesus. They're saying to all of you, my life will change as well to follow Christ. Is there a believer here tonight and you're not yet baptized and you want to go through the waters? We've clothes for you. Is there? Is there somebody else in the Lord? You know you're not baptized yet and you want to be baptized tonight. We've got clothes if you want to go through. Anybody know? We've done this one night down in the building and a fellow went in his clothes and all. Anybody? Any believers? Anybody here and you're not saved, you're saying, I need to get saved tonight. Well, we're here to help you tonight. We're here to help you and to point you to Christ. We can't save you, but we'll point you to the one who can. So here's what we're going to do.